Hi, good morning, everyone. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come and hear and read your word, Father God, Lord. I pray that you will come and anoint my tongue, Father God, and whatever that I say will be of you, Lord. Anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it will not come out of my mouth, Father God. And if for my disobedience, Father God, I share anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it won't be registered in the hearts and minds of people that are listening, Father God, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way with us today in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Good morning, guys. So today I'll continue to share from the Upper Room Discourse, which we have been reading from the book of John, chapter 13 to 17. So last time I shared until verses 35. And today we'll be finishing this chapter, chapter 13. And there are only three verses left. So we will be reading the remaining three verses. So with that, let's turn our Bibles to John 13. And we'll be reading from verses 36 to 38. John 13, 36 to 38. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus replied, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." Amen. So even though there are just three verses that we just read, actually, there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from this passage. And I pray and hope that God will use my sharing to speak to anyone who is listening. With that, just a bit of a recap from my previous sharings. So as of now, Jesus has dismissed Judas and asked him to do what he wanted to do while Jesus had already set in his heart to betray him. After Judas left the upper room, Jesus told his disciples that where he's going somewhere, which they cannot come as of this moment. Then Jesus gave the disciples a new command that they should love one another as he has loved them, and how it will be the definition and identity of a true disciple of Jesus is only when they love one another. After Jesus finished giving the command, then there is this conversation we just read where Peter interrupted Jesus and asked him, "Where are you going?" If you read this chapter as a whole, it will be easy to notice that there are two characters, Judas and Peter. So apart from Jesus saying and sharing and teaching, these two names were mentioned the most in this chapter. So naturally, there will be a comparison between them. Both were at the meal in the upper room. Both had done something or will act on something that will cause Jesus grievance. But from the Gospels, we know that one ended up committing suicide while the other went to be a church planter and eventually died and was crucified for Christ. So what caused them ending up in different directions in life? And what can we learn from the verses that we just read? To understand more, let's try to get some background on what we know about Judas and Peter. As last time I shared, some of the reasons which caused Judas to betray Jesus. In all four Gospels, Judas is mentioned by name as one of the 12 handpicked disciples. He went out with the others to spread the news of Jesus Christ. This is recorded in Mark 6, where it says, "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil. Many were sick and healed them." This is specifically Mark 6, verses 12 to 13. No account states anywhere that Judas failed this task. But if we read the Gospels, particularly in the book of John, It was highlighted that greed was the sin he struggled the most. Then there was also selfishness and the misunderstanding and the misinterpretation of the Bible, where Judas thought that Jesus was going to bring an earthly kingdom right here, right now. But what the Bible said was first time when the Messiah come, he will be the suffering Messiah. And the second time when the Messiah comes, then he will be coming as a king, as a ruler. All these combined caused Judas to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And that was the same amount that he needed to finish off the deal for a land that he bought in Jerusalem. So that was a bit of a brief background of Judas. And then what about Peter? We know that his name was Simon and was renamed to Peter by Jesus. He was a fisherman in Capernaum. Peter also had a wife, though it was not known who she was. But in the three Gospels, it is mentioned that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So it's obvious that Peter was married. You can only have a mother-in-law if you are married. His brother, Andrew, was also a disciple. And they worked with the sons of Zebedee, who were also disciples of Jesus. Like Judas, Peter is named in all four gospel accounts connected with Jesus' life. And Peter will also go on to write new books in the New Testament. While Judas struggled with greed, we can safely say that Peter exhibits pride and a quick temper. There are several moments in the gospel where Peter boldly claimed he would go to war for Jesus, that he would always do whatever it took for Jesus. That arrogance was so strong that even when Jesus predicted his denial, Peter failed to realize his weakness immediately and did not change his heart or realize. If you read the same account in Matthew, it gives us a bit more detailed conversation. It says, Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And then Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. So here you can see the arrogance and the brashness that Peter had. Later, when Jesus was betrayed and the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter suddenly drew out his sword and cut off the ears of the high priest's servant. That was his instinct. He struck at the first person he saw without thinking of any consequences. He would cut off Jesus' conversations while Jesus was sharing something beautiful. So he was a type of person who was quick to anger, quick to speak, and quick to act. So by this, we can see that they were two very different personalities. But if we look at their lives, we can also find a lot of similarities. So there are a few of them, like both have behaved foolishly in this chapter and grieved Jesus. Peter tried to deny Jesus the opportunity to wash his feet, once again, like showing us his characteristics of being like brash and cutting off conversations. And now here he's saying that he will go wherever Jesus goes, and to the extent that he's willing to die for that. But of course, we all know eventually Peter will deny Jesus. While Judas had set it in his heart to betray Jesus already, so their actions, both actions, brought grievances to Jesus. Both had followed Jesus for around 3 years by now at this stage. And during this time, they both have heard Jesus preach frequently. More than that, they also have seen Jesus perform miracles. They saw him do things that the laws of physics cannot explain. for example, feeding 5,000 men and their families from 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is clear that both of them had seen miracles after miracles in the 3 years that they were with Jesus. Both had been sent out by Jesus in twos to preach the gospel and to perform miracles. Both had constantly witnessed the wisdom, love, and compassion of Jesus. Both of them, in spite of witnessing all these things over the years, will fail Jesus in the final hour. Even though there were so many similarities between them, they do have a few differences. And those few differences are far, far more significant than the similarities. Peter was a true disciple, while Judas was not. Judas was never a true disciple. And Jesus knew about this already. Even in verse 10 of this chapter, when Jesus talked about washing feet, when the conversation was between Judas and Peter, Jesus said to Peter, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you," saying Peter, "you are clean, but not all of you." Jesus here was using this analogy to say that not everyone in that room was following him or believed in him. Not all of them were clean. Obviously, was referring to Judas, who would be betraying him. Peter truly loved Jesus, while Judas never did. This can be seen in how they reacted to their sins as well. When Peter realized his weakness and frailty of himself, what he did? He wept bitterly the tears of repentance. And we can read that in the book of Luke. If you read Luke chapter 22, verses 61 and 62, we know what happened after the third time of Peter's denial. At the moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus and how he has told him before the rooster crow, he will deny him 3 times. And the moment he realized and remembered that, he went out and wept bitterly. That was Peter's response in realizing the enormity of his sin. Remember, he didn't deny him once. He denied him 3 times. While Judas, on the other hand, did not repent. Yeah, you can say Judas did recant his betrayal and went back to the religious leaders and threw the 30 pieces of silver back to them. But if we read what he said, that was the key. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." He felt guilty that he had betrayed someone who did not commit a crime, who was condemned rather than the murderer Barabbas. Things to notice here is that he did not acknowledge that he betrayed the Messiah, because by now he didn't thought that Jesus was the Messiah. He only said that he has betrayed an innocent person. Jesus has been constantly showing Judas how he sees him. Jesus saw him as a friend, even at the time of being arrested. What did Jesus say to Judas? Jesus said, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" If you ask me, it's just my personal thought, if Judas has repented even at the foot of the cross, I'm sure Jesus would have forgiven him. Sadly, Judas took his own life instead. Another important difference, and I think a very critical one, was that Peter was rebuked from time to time and corrected by Jesus in the Gospels. Actually, we can read this throughout the Gospels, where there are so many accounts where Peter is rebuked by Jesus. While from the Gospel, we do not see Judas was rebuked even once. And that should bring comfort to us when we are rebuked or corrected by Jesus. Jesus' correction for us is always beneficial for our own good. If you read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." Also in Hebrews 12, 5 to 6, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are punished by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." Sounds so rough, right? Like words like scourges, punishes. It's like an angry father punishing his children. But if we read the Message version, I think it shows more the true heart of God the Father. In the Message version, it says, "My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects." So God rebukes or corrects only those he loves and cares. I think for those who are parents can relate and can understand this more. But being a parent, you will love and embrace your child and will be willing to die for them. But when there needs to be discipline, they will also be firm because they want good for their children. So I just want to encourage you that if you are going through some rebuking or correction in life, like it says in Hebrews, do not be crushed by this. This is for your good. And it is tough to accept, but it is because God loves you. And that is why he tries to correct you. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So as I end, may I invite P. Ernie to prepare to lead us into worship. So as we end, we go back to the question, what caused Peter to fail and deny Jesus? What can we learn from it? So one of the issues for sure was his overconfidence in himself. This confidence in himself and in his flesh will be exposed to be Peter's greatest weakness. It is ironic that how this weakness started to be exposed. It was exposed and started by a little girl or a young woman, probably a teenager, asking him, "Aren't you one of them?" This big, manly fisherman, probably built with big muscles because he has been pulling fishes and working hard physically at the sea, suddenly became afraid and denied he ever knew Jesus the first time. Then, continuing, there was the guard and the chief priest, servants, where Peter denied Jesus the second and the third time. Peter was ignorant of his own shortcomings, his own weaknesses. He was overconfident in his flesh. He thought that Jesus needed him. He didn't understand how desperately he needed Jesus. Peter had to go through this pain and repentance to know about himself and change for the better. Eventually, he would understand. And as we read in his letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, we know he eventually understood how much he needed Jesus and not the other way around. If you think about it, every one of us can be either one of them. We can be a Judas or we can be a Peter. Not in physical sense, just to be clear, because we should never ever think of committing suicide at any point. And if you're having such thoughts, please speak to someone that you know. But my point here is that we can still be spiritually dead. Why? Because we all will fail and sin. We all will fall short of the glory of God. But the way we react after we fail will determine how we will end and how we will continue. Will we be spiritually dead, or will we understand our fleshly weaknesses and move on to learn the lesson and be a better person? A person that God wants us to be? So let's spend some time to reflect. If you feel that you are spiritually dead, let the Holy Spirit lead you into revelation and repentance on the root cause of it. And if you're like Peter, who were rebuked and have repented, remember that God has so much planned for you. In both cases, always remember God's mercy, grace, and love is bigger than any failure or sin that had been repented. So let's pray and worship.
Your grace. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough for me. Yes, Lord, your grace is enough for me.
Yes, Father God, thank you that your grace is enough for all of us. Your mercy is enough for all of us. And your love is enough for all of us. Thank you, Father, that whatever our failures, our sins are, your mercy, grace, and love is greater and is enough for all of us, Father Lord. Lord, as we come and repent from all the things that we have done, Father God, Lord, that have grieved you, that have grieved your heart, Father God, Lord. And we thank you that you are a loving and forgiving God. Lord, I also pray that, as we move on from all these, whatever things that we have done, Lord, I pray that we'll move on and to be a greater person and bring bigger impact for your kingdom, Father God, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and guide us, Father God, in our lives, Father God, in everything that we do, Lord. Come and guide us, Father God, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's spend some time to pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through different cancer, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for our community who are ill, but also are in need to know Jesus. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts, both physically as well, and also emotionally and spiritually, to bring salvation and healing in their lives. Let's pray for our communities who are going through infirmities. Let's pray for brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Let's turn our attention to mission focus. Let's pray for SP New York, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Continue to pray for SP NY to prosper and grow and have favor from the Lord. Let's pray for North Korea and for open doors for ministry in this nation, in this country. Also, let's pray for missional opportunities and partnerships opportunities here in Asia. Let's also lift up the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. Let's lift up our SP weekend gatherings, whether any that are in online or those are in person. Let's pray for the Sunday services, the Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin and Spill services and activities, migrant worker classes, and all meetings. Let's continue to lift up our pregnant ladies. Praise God for yielding to give birth to a beautiful little boy. Let's continue to lift up Kathleen, Jade, Amanda, Cecilia, Angela, and others that continue to have smooth pregnancies and deliveries when the time is due. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today. Bowen, Hollywood, King's Court, Mawan, and Southside. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will be in each and every of the meetings, and love will abound in the whole house church. Yes, Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for everything that you have done for us, Father God. Thank you that continue to remind us, Father God, that your grace is enough for us, Father God, Lord. But thank you, Lord. I pray that will continue to be a blessing to others today and the rest of our lives, Father God, Lord. I pray that you continue to use us mightily for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you bless the rest of the day and the week, and yes, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be upon us, Father God, wherever we go and whatever we do. We want to thank you, and we love you, in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.